All right. Welcome. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned to Radio Islam International, and it's now time, inshallah, for the Rabit Afkar program. And in the studios tonight, we have our esteemed guest, honorable guest, mashallah, brother Adil Mia, all the way from Johannesburg. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, Maulana, and to all our listeners. It's been a long time, Maulana, like you were saying earlier, about 2 months.
Yes, it's been a long time since I've seen you, Adil, alhamdulillah. We now meet again after a long time.
See, alhamdulillah, everybody back home from the holidays, all the school children back at school. Inshallah, the varsity will be starting soon also. Back into the, what they say, the grinding storm also.
See.
Everybody just had a good holiday, mashallah. A lot of people went for Umrah, Allah accept from them all. And all returned back safely, alhamdulillah. I don't know if there's any car issues. If there are any car issues, we are here available today. And we can answer all your car needs and car problems, inshallah.
Inshallah. Adil, Jazakumullah for your time, my brother. Yes, dear listeners, we have Adil Mia in the studios of Radio Islam International. Seems as though Abdul Haq is still on holiday. But give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. The SMS number for tonight's program, the Rabit Afkar program, or the car program, is 082-580-8070, 082-580-8070. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. Adil, first question coming through. The brother wants to know with regards to the vapor lock. What is a vapor lock in the car?
See, most of the vapor lock most commonly happens in the fuel tank, where the moisture from the air actually escapes into the tank and doesn't escape. And you normally have a vapor lock there. That's one of the common issues a vapor lock can take place. A vapor lock can also take place in the, very rarely can take place also in the cooling system, where you have a more air lock. And the other common place it can take place also is in the air intake system, where you can have a vapor lock there also. But the most common place a vapor lock normally takes place is in the fuel tank. Basically, the tank is a cylindrical tube where you store the fuel in. And normally, because of vapor doesn't escape, then you have a lock in there, and then the pressure doesn't release to the valve at the bottom of the tank. Normally, it is blocked. But the easiest way to get rid of a vapor lock, just open the fuel tank cap and all the vapor will escape.
Lovely, Jazakumullah. The question coming about Adil is with regards to the oil cans. The brother wants to know, he says that he knows the information referred to or printed on the oil container. It refers to the viscosity that we spoke about last time and also the grade of the oil. So he wants to know regarding the words SAE and basically how to read an oil can and what is the best oil for his car, Adil.
You must have the normal writing on the oil can where you get the 10W and the 1050W, whatever the, and the 10W50 and the 0W50, that's basically, like you say, it's all rating. So that basically the testing of the oil has been done, and the rating of 10, 0, 5 is all at different temperatures where the oil can be used, and the different thickness of the oil. So basically, the SAE rating is the quality of the oil that has been put into the, how can I put it to you in easier terms, the different quality of oil. So you basically get the mineral oil, which is normally the mixed oil, and then you get the semi-synthetic oil, and then you get the fully synthetic oil. The fully synthetic oil, that's the best oil to use in your motor vehicle, and then you get the semi-synthetic, and then the mineral oil, which is the cheaper ones. So basically, the motor manufacturer will actually tell you which oil is specified for your vehicle. The most commonly ones used in our country is the 10W40 or the 20W50. That is your normal mineral oil. And the better ones to use is the 0W30, the 0W40, 0W50, even the 5W. Also good oil students.
Adil, Jazakumullah. All right, the question coming through here, it says is, doesn't say what car, but it says there's a chemical smell and a little smoke from the underhood, front right passenger, and the car shutters when you press the gas. What could be the problem, Adil? A chemical smell, a little smoke from the underhood, front right passenger, and I think not shutters, possibly shudders when pressing the pedal.
See, Masab, but I think the problem the brother or sister has on that vehicle is he's got a misfire, so making it sound like a shudder. And the smell and the smoke coming out from the hood, probably from the exhaust manifold, which is causing the backfire, and it's probably backfiring through the exhaust or to the end of the manifold. That's where it's getting the vapor and it coming. Which an older car, maybe probably the points and condenser or the timing out of the wrong spark plug has been used. On a newer vehicle, could be a misfire caused by a spark plug, or even a leaking valve can cause a misfire causing the backfire and smell. So he has to get it checked up urgently, because if he continues driving like that, there can be serious damage done to the vehicle.
The brother says, my Golf 5 GTI, for some reason, it always acts up. Say, for example, if I'm driving in second or third gear at about 40 kilos an hour, it has a lot of pull. But if I plant it in fifth or sixth at 50 or 60 kilos an hour, it won't go anywhere and you can't hear the turbine spin. Also, it says another thing, every now and then the car will start to misfire. I've changed all the plugs and oil pack and the coils flushed out. Engine done twice, turbo also done twice. I have to look at the injectors though. What could be the problem, Brother Adil?
What car is it?
It's a Golf 5 GTI, 2 litre.
Gee, the brother done a lot of work and no success. Yes, that can be a bit of a challenging thing or something. No, I mean, you go through all that effort and through all that work.
And a very costly thing, I think.
And it's a very costly thing. I actually taking pity to the brother who spent so much money on that vehicle and still doesn't seem to be right. I think the right way to do it now is, I think all that should have been done in the first place before he went and done the engine and all that. I mean, to do the basic checks first of the vehicle. That's why in the field of mechanics and doing repairs on motor vehicles, the most important thing to remember is, for all the listeners out there doing repairs to cars, especially when it comes to costly affairs like doing engines and all that, do the basic checks first. Check your basic things, you know, before you start jumping to the big things. Because normally you can go through all that, like they say, you swim the whole ocean and you come to the shore and you drown, you know, because you go through all that things and you come to the end of the thing and you still are not successful. So the injectors should have been checked in the first place. I mean, that should have been the number one priority, to check the injectors first. The coil packs were checked, all that was checked, that should be all the small things were checked before you done the engine. I think the problem might as well be the injectors, because I mean, that's the only thing we left out right now. And then the other common thing could go wrong on those vehicles is the engine ECU, the main engine control unit, could be faulty. So I think those are the basic things what is actually left on the car, if everything else has been done. So the brother only got that route to check right now. And at the end of the day, you know, you go through all the work and you find out it's something silly or something small.
It could have cost
you a couple of hundred rand. But anyway, everybody's got different ways of checking vehicles. But I think the most common thing is, even if a costly repair like that is going to take place, always advisable. You know, today nobody knows everything, Musa. I mean, even the best mechanic in the world cannot know the problem. And maybe on that day he's not having a good day. And I always advise people, you know, if it's going to be a repair,
they don't give him lunch.
Exactly. And then, you know, always a repair over 5,000-10,000 rand, get a second opinion. You know, it'll maybe cost you a couple hundred rand, but it'll save you thousands of rand later on.
Other question, a brother says he's got the old Ford Sierras. What's happening is it's making a metal on metal grinding noise in first gear in reverse. The brother says after I shift to second, the noise goes away, but returns when slowing to a stop and shifts back to first. What could be the issue?
See, Masab, he could have two issues there. I think his problem is in the gearbox where he's getting the metallic sound. So basically his input shaft bearing, the main bearing in the input shaft, is probably collapsing. And that's why he's getting the noise in first and reverse gear. Because you must remember, in the gearbox, the first and reverse gear is the most powerful gears in the vehicle. And reverse gear being the most powerful of them all, that's why he's getting the noise, because the gearbox will be under the most load in those two gears. So his problem is definitely in the gearbox. He'll have to remove the gearbox and renew the bearings.
Jazakumullah. Yes, Brother Adil's son is also in the studios. MashaAllah, Brother Muhammad. Maybe we can ask him a question or two, Adil.
Jee, MashaAllah, I think he knows about it too on cars, but he'll know more on the soccer scene and PlayStation or things like that.
All right, Jazakumullah. Let's go on further, inshallah. Adil, the question coming about here is with regards to the cam belt 2000 Toyota Corolla. When should the cam belt be renewed and changed?
You must have on the older generation cars, the specified cam belt changes on the older generation cars was about 100,000 kilometers where they had to be changed. On newer generation cars, the manufacturers have actually extended that time. So basically, you can go till about 150,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
But always advisable, after 100,000, when you take the car for the service,
okay,
always have it inspected. It's definitely worth your while to have the cam belt inspected. And another common thing is, if whatever is rotated by the cam belt, for example, if your water pump is rotated by the cam belt and your water pump gives a trouble, always change the cam belt. So basically, whenever a cam belt is removed, it's advisable that you replace it.
Adil, if a person's going to leave the car unused for quite a while, say for instance, going overseas for a month or two, I'm sure there's a few simple things that a person can do to make sure that when he starts using the car once again, it'll be in good condition and ready to use when he's back. What are the simple things that one can make sure, you know, that the car will remain in good condition when it comes to Khalil? Take the battery out?
Not necessarily. Today, most of the cars are designed that they can keep the battery life for about a month or even 2 months maximum. But if it's going to be longer than that, it's advisable that you disconnect the battery if you know how. If there's not much knowledge about it, always maybe get your technician or somebody who knows how can disconnect the battery terminals. And make sure that when you're leaving the car is parked in a safe, confined area where there is ventilation going, leaving and coming into the area, and not exposed to too much sunlight, like not leaving the car outside for a long period of time. That can cause an effect on the vehicle in a long period. And then when returning from your journey, and even if you have a car cover or maybe your sheet or your gudra, what they call it, or your blanket, throw it over the car in front and in the back. That's a good idea. It protects the paintwork. It protects the inside of the car. And when returning from your journey or from your holiday, advisable that check the oil levels before starting the car. And if it's a diesel vehicle, make sure you glow the engine so it heats up properly after starting. And after you started the vehicle, for a few seconds, let it idle. Then immediately you can take it out for a spin and then check all the oil levels and the tire pressures, and when you return, all the lights are working, and based on basic checks like we always discuss on the program.
Lovely, JazakAllah. We're going further, G. The number to call for the program, 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548, and the SMS number for the program is 082-580-8070. Our question coming about here is with regards to a blown head gasket. What are the symptoms of a blown head gasket?
The most common symptom of a blown cylinder gasket is normally caused by driving the vehicle without water. You'll get a mixture of oil and water mixing in the cooling system. It'll look like a milkshake color, like a whitish, reddish color that will be profound in the cooling system and even in the oil system of the vehicle. That is your common noticeable effect of the car having a blown cylinder gasket. The other common thing is the car will use a lot of water, and the car won't perform as well as it should. You'll have a misfire and lower performance on the vehicle. But the most common thing is, even if it's blown really bad, the water will come out through the exhaust badly also. So those are the common symptoms of a blown cylinder gasket.
The brother wants to know regarding the E46 under the BMW E318i. It's a 1999 model. Automatic cars, he wants to know how is this car. I would say lovely cars, isn't it?
Gee, they are the very reliable cars, nice and economical cars also to have.
And easy to maintain, isn't it?
Not bad, Mosab. Today, you know, most of the cars, Mosab, the maintenance I think is about the same. Whether you drive a Mercedes or you drive a BMW or a Toyota, the maintenance really, Mosab, it's not much of a difference because, you know, I help some guys with Toyotas and with other vehicles.
Yeah.
And if they come in there, maybe a couple hundred rand difference, Mosab. And you know, and with the exchange rate we're experiencing right now, it's not going to get any better because we're not going to see the effect right now. Maybe after a couple, maybe after 6 months when the stock has to be replaced by the manufacturers and by the suppliers, then you're going to notice the pinch. But today, end of the day, servicing a car is not expensive. The replacement parts on vehicles, like, you know, if you have to replace turbochargers, if you have to replace water pumps and alternators and starters and wheel bearings and replacement parts like fenders and headlights and things like that.
Those are expensive.
Those are expensive, most of them. So I think today they are the most reliable, I think, personally, not because Mercedes-Benz is not a bad car to maintain, Mosab. Especially the C-Class range, they're very affordable and very economical to maintain. That's what I noticed compared to other manufacturers.
Right, JazakAllah. I'll tell the question coming about here. It says there are many, many brands of special flush fluid that the manufacturers will say you should use to flush your cooling system. Maybe ask you for your professional opinion, Adil.
Mosab, there are many, many of these flushing system and cooling system and engine flushes out there in the market. I think I can... If I start naming them, we'll end the show. There is quite a few ones that are recommended and that we use at our workshop. And it's advisable to do an engine flush, to do a fuel line flush and a radiator flush when you send the car for a service. I say, Alhamdulillah, in our workshop, we don't really have a problem of engine sludging up or a noisy valve drain, because how important it is when before changing the oil on your vehicle to have it flushed out. Because you must remember, the oil has been there for a while. And sometimes when you're draining the oil, there are a few particles and some of the oil residue that stays behind, which doesn't get knocked off of the engine and stays in the system. With the engine flush and a radiator flush and a fuel line cleaner, you're actually shaking loose all those stubborn, like what they say, the stubborn stains, you know, on clothes. And so you get the stubborn stains in the engines also that are removed and then drained out when removing the oil plug. And it's a good practice. I personally think so, yeah.
Okay. Adil, the question coming about here is that the brother's got a problem and he says when he's the steering wheel shakes when he's braking. Well, what could be the problem?
The most common thing is when the steering shakes when braking is the brake discs.
Yeah.
They are warped or they're out of round. And that's why when applying the brake, you have the steering wheel shaking. There are two ways to solve that problem. Is one, you can have the brake discs or the brake rotors skimmed if they are still within limits or specification of the manufacturer, or being so many available on the market, they can be replaced at the fraction of a cost also. And being on the subject of a steering, this advice to all our listeners out there who drive the Mercedes-Benz C-Class, especially the ones from 2007 onwards, always make sure when you park in the vehicle, that you park the vehicle with the steering in a straight ahead position. There's a big problem that we've experienced in lately with the steering locks, the electronic steering locks failing on those cars. So basically, if you're jumping in the vehicle and trying to start the vehicle, the vehicle doesn't start and it doesn't unlock the steering. And it's a really a costly affair to replace and to get the car to the workshop to do the job, because once the car is locked, there's no way you can drive the car. And if it's in the basement, to get the car out to tow the car is another scenario. So the basic the tip that can help you prolong the life of the steering lock is always remember to park the car and the steering in a straight ahead position.
Adil, the brother says he's heard about a faster technique with regards to bleeding the lines of the brakes. Can you advise him what is a much faster technique?
The most quickest way today is to bleed the braking system is with a high pressure bleeder, which you plug into the brake system, and then basically you put in pressure into the brake reservoir, brake fluid reservoir, and you pump in about maybe 0.5 bar or 0.1 bar, not too much, and then you go to all the wheels and you just open the brake nipples and the brake will come out. That's the quickest way and the easiest way to do the brake bleeding system if you are alone.
Question, the brother says, Assalamu alaikum, 2W2 Polo, steering feels loose and less responsive. 2W2 Polos, lovely cars, are they?
Lovely cars. Most of I think the problem the brother should be having there is the suspension should be checked. Very important. If the steering is feeling loose, maybe the steering rack mountings are worn out. That's why he's feeling loose. See, a steering feeling loose and oversteering and understeering is different explanations to what could be the problem. But not generally, from a customer's point of view, when a steering feeling loose, that could be the problem. The steering rack bushes are worn out, so basically you're oversteering and getting that loose feeling on the steering. So that should be checked immediately. The other culprit could be the lower ball joints on the steering on the wheels could be worn out. So that means before you can turn the steering, you taking up the play on the ball joint, then only the wheel is turning. So very dangerous. So I think immediately that problem should be checked and then rectified as soon as possible.
Lovely. Apologies. The number to call for the program, we have limited time, just about 3 minutes remaining. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The SMS number 082-580-8070. We have time for just a few more questions. Adil, SMS question, the brother says, Assalamu alaikum, I have a Telstar. When I start the car, it makes a grinding sound. So what could I do? Starter problems, Adil?
If you start the car and there's a grinding noise, the common culprit with the grinding noise coming from the starter motor. So basically, he could have two problems. The grinding noise caused from the Bendix released onto the ring gear of the car, of the engine, causing the Bendix to slip against the ring gear, causing the grinding noise. So hopefully, for him, in his case, it's only the Bendix, because if it's going to be the ring gear, then the gearbox will have to come out and the ring gear has to be replaced. That could be a bit costly on his side.
Lovely. The brother's got a question here regarding the brake rotors, I think. He wants to know how to change the rotors.
See, the brake rotors commonly known as to us as brake discs,
yeah,
where the brake pads run onto the silver metallic part in the on the wheel, known as a brake rotor also. That has to be changed. It's not an easy job, not a difficult job. I mean, you have a basic idea of how to change a brake pads that can be changed easily. The wheels have to be removed and the calipers have to be removed. And then there's two locking nuts that hold the brake rotor in place will have to be removed and then you change it in that way. It's not basically a difficult job, but if you've got some know-how, it can be easy to be done.
Lovely. Line number two, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jesus, sir.
I have a question for you. I have a Toyota CS. It was recently being overrun. The top cover gasket mm-hmm. oil was still leaking, right?
Okay.
But still moving. And when the car was moving, it shredded a noise. Today, while I was waiting driving, mm-hmm. the kind of the noise started making a noise like a clack-clack.
Okay.
Kind of a noise from the engine.
All right.
So now it doesn't want to move the car. What is the cause for it?
Okay, the reason I think that if they done the top of the engine on your vehicle, did the car overheat before doing that?
I think so, because there wasn't no smoke or anything, but just the noise started making.
Okay, there could be two problems there. I think there could be a valve rocker that could have come loose and came off causing the noise.
See?
Or there could be a noise on the bottom part of the engine, maybe from a bearing or from a piston. So I think it's advisable not to start the car or drive the car,
right,
and just take it back to the person who done the job for you and just tell him to check what I told you to check. So you must take the top cover off again, check the rockers, if none of them came loose, or you could check the bottom part of the engine, maybe the piston or the bearing. But I think your problem will be on the top part, maybe one of them just came loose, wasn't secured properly.
Or if it wasn't overheated, so what caused that? Can it be?
You see, if the car overheated, that means if they took the top off, they didn't inspect the bottom part of the engine correctly. Because normally, if the car overheats badly, you could have caused damage to the bottom part of the engine. So that's very rarely, but hopefully in your case, that's not the problem, because then it can be costly. But I think in your case, it just could be a rocker that came loose and then fell off and then causing the noise. So, but don't start the car and drive the car, because if it did come loose, you're going to cause some serious damage again to the car.
So if the car wasn't overheated, if it wasn't, so what caused the injustice?
You see, the reason why you told me they done the top of the engine, am I correct? Yeah, so you must find out for what reason they done the top of the engine. Do you know why they done the top? Do you bought the car like it, or you took it to get the top done?
I took it to the service. So there was a problem in the engine, I think. So
okay.
My dad took it.
Yes. And then exactly what did they do to the top of the engine? Do you know?
Can I just call him on the line quickly?
Okay.
Daddy, come.
We should call him the daddy, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we have limited time, 3 minutes to 8 o'clock. And Adi, the brother's got a question here. While the daddy is coming, let's take this question here. The listener wants to know, what's the market price of 2008 Corolla 1.4 Professional? They expect him at 80,000. Yes, it should be. You should get about between 75,000, 77,000 rands for this car. Lovely cars as well.
Nice cars, James.
Nice cars. Ali, the brother wants to know, when is the 2016 Toyota Camry launch in South Africa?
I didn't really hear of any launch.
Me also.
We'll do some research on it and we'll probably give you a feedback by next week.
Inshallah. And the brother says, Jazakallah for the informative program.
Jazakallah
for your kind words, my brother, from Woodbank. All right, Jee, my brother, assalamu alaikum, are you there?
It's about the test.
Jee.
You see, the guy removed the thing, all the valves and everything.
But the reason why they done it, do you know why they done that? Was the car smoking or was the camber broke? Okay, the camber broke,
yeah,
right?
The camber broke. The camber.
Right, okay, uncle. So what happened, what went wrong there is the camber broke, they done the top. So on the top of the valve, there's rockers where you open and close the valve. So in your case, one of the rockers came loose and probably fell out. That's where you're hearing the noise. So don't...
We checked the rockers. The rockers are still fine.
And the noise is still there?
Yeah, but it just went to start, you see, now.
And then who checked the rockers for you?
There's a guy there in four ways.
Did he do the job for you also?
No, he didn't do the job.
Okay, so what you should do is, don't start the car, don't do anything to the car, take it back to the guy who done the job and tell him the problem, he should sort it out for you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Right.
Right, so.
Jazakumullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alright, I think we're going to have to terminate the program a few minutes, a few seconds rather remaining for the 8 o'clock news. Concluding remarks, Adil?
Jimolana, alhamdulillah, in a short space of time, I think we got a lot of questions answered. Alhamdulillah, the listeners out there can get some more. If they have any issues with the motor vehicles, we're here to assist them in any way, inshallah.
Jazakumullah. Alright, and also the email address is mkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramkaramka